Good morning. I apologize ahead of time if I have to start coughing. I'm recovering from a three-week cold. I'm delivering the first homily reflection of the morning. Our service today, as Jessica said in the introduction, is a recreation, a reliving of a service that we did in 2008. And the service sought to bring together stories and traditions, rituals from what is loosely referred to as pagan or neo-pagan belief, and to combine it on this day with our reverence of mothers and our love for mothers, and in particular, in this context, the earth as the symbolic mother of us all, and to combine all that with our own UU principle, our seventh principle, the interconnected web of life. So I'm going to start my reflection by telling a story that has to do with mothers and paganism, maybe the interconnection of all life. So many years ago, when, like 20-something years ago, when Jessica and I were a young couple, and my younger sister was still a very young child, we were at my parents' house, who are very conservative Christians, and my mother noticed Jessica's necklace, which was a gold chain with a star hanging from it. And my mom said, "Oh, is that a Star of David?" And one of us said, "No, it's a pentacle." Jessica's a pagan. And my little sister, being a little kid, said, "What's a pagan?" And me, if you know me, being sarcastic, responded, "That's someone who worships rocks and trees." This horrified my mom, and it horrified Jessica. And it's not actually the case. Pagans don't worship rocks and trees, but my sarcasm meant to elicit a point, which is that I grew up in the conservative Christian church where we would sing a hymn, "How Great Thou Art," and that had to do with a God who was separate from the world and that we were worshiping. And in my understanding of the pagan tradition, the idea is still there, "How great thou art," but the thou is not a thou out there, separate from the world. The thou is the thou that is present in all of us, and it is certainly worshipped as great. So it's not the rock that is great, it's not the tree that's great, it is all of it. It is the life force that permeates it all and binds us all together. I spend lots of time in nature, not only farming, but skiing, hiking, ambling. As Mary Oliver wrote, "There's nothing I would rather do than spend my days walking through the fields." And what I see often makes me a bit sad. What I see is a broken world. I walk in the woods and I don't see healthy forests. I see invasive species and trees that are dying. And it's very distressing. And it reflects to me our own brokenness, the brokenness of our society, the brokenness of ourselves, the brokenness of our relations. We don't take the seventh principle seriously. We don't take it to heart. If we did, how could we live in a world like this? How could we have created a world like this? And yet, I go back every day. Why do I go back every day? Because despite the brokenness of myself and our society and the world, I find beauty. Sorry. I find beauty in the broken world. I find respite in our broken world. And I find peace in this not so wild place that we call a world, which is a good thing, because I think that the idea of wild places, while it has a romantic appeal, is part of the problem. I would rather find respite in the not so wild places, because wild places implies places that we aren't. And when we talk about places that aren't human, when we separate ourselves from the world, we bring back the dualism of my early upbringing in the Christian church that I think has done so much to separate us and make us forget the interconnectedness of all beings. When we don't see ourselves in nature, then we're apart from nature. And when we're apart, we fail to act according to the sudden principle. We fail to see the sacredness in each thing, in each of us, and in each relation. The sacredness that ties us all together is the essence of the seventh principle. All sarcasm aside, I do think that we should worship the rocks and the trees. I do think that we should worship each other and the water and the air we breathe. Because in doing so, we honor ourselves, we honor each other, and we honor our UU heritage and the interconnectedness of all life.
I just want to say thank you to everybody here in this congregation who has given me a home, and also to everybody who's helped with this service so much. My own sense of divinity is entirely wrapped up in the earth, our primal mother, this sacred ground. If everything is interconnected, and modern science is finally coming to agree that it is, then how can anything be truly separated? The classic dualisms that have been handed down to us, nature versus nurture, body versus mind, sacred versus mundane, God versus human, are not actually opposing forces, but rather move together in the dance of evolution. For me, this means that what is sacred, divine, what is God and goddess, are not separate from the world nor from us. They are us and the world, a part so intimate it cannot be removed. Like Reverend Nancy J. Crumbine said last week, it is important to weave together our work against oppressions. I would venture to say that oppressions are based on a false idea of separation. And like our seventh principle teaches us, we are all interdependent. There are so many things changing these days, monstrous changes it seems, mountains collapsing and oceans rising, great migrations of people whose feet are so tired moving across the landscapes. Someone we once laughed at the idea of being president now holds that office. Our own UUA president resigning, others in UUA leadership doing the same, our church itself having radical conversations, daring to be honest about how racism has affected us, our church growing and stretching, and it feels like it's happening so fast, monumental changes in a month's worth of time. We feel up in the air, unsettled, uncomfortable, excited, anticipatory, and uneasy. So much about change is hard. Any kind of change can be hard, but this is really hard change, and we're unsure of where we'll end up. Where does this path take us? Who will we be along this journey? What will ground us? I think back on Tim DeChristopher's sermon from early April, which focused a lot on death. Not so much personal mortality, really, more so the death of this civilization, of life at least as we know it. Are these the final death throes that have brought forth Trump and this current administration? But these death throes are much larger. So much death appears on the horizon. What helps us move forward? What keeps us from falling into despair, from throwing all that we value away, from turning only inward and selfish? I myself have been feeling so much despair lately, with humanity and the sheer destruction we cause, so much struggle. The selfishness of all our actions, our inability to see ourselves as part of a larger picture. When despair for the world grows in me, what do I do? Where do I go? I remember Tim telling us the story of the man searching in the light for the keys that he had actually lost in the dark. When we cannot see, when we cannot make rational sense of the world around us, what do we do? Sometimes, maybe it doesn't have to make sense. Sometimes, perhaps it's something you feel with your body, and you honor your body. You honor your ground of being. I don't know exactly what a prayer is, Mary Oliver writes. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. We have so much work to do, and the work is hard, but it is good work, and we have taken our first steps. We look ahead into the unknown, into the darkness. We are dreaming the dark, and we must allow ourselves the space and time to dream. Just as the sun rises in the east, explores a path across the sky, and sets in the west, so we must give ourselves both light and dark, time for action and time for imagination, time for labor and time for fun, time to remember why we do the work we do. Where do you draw your sustenance from? I draw it up from the ground of being, from my ground of being, from the beauty in the world that surrounds me, from paying attention to the here and now and honoring it. I come into Yarrick, as Reverend Crumbin described. I come into the peace of wild things, and for a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free.